And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. Great to have you with us, and we appreciate you joining us. We're, again, broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in, well, rainy Baltimore, Maryland. But we're glad you're with us on this Friday morning. Great to have you with us, friends. And hope you'll stay with us for the next hour as we wrap up the thoughts of that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6. And, of course, yesterday in conjunction with the National Day of Prayer. It's been our theme all week long in the Grace Hour. We hope you've enjoyed the messages and the fellowship we certainly have here in our studio. And grateful for each of you that join us live and that listen to the broadcast archived if you cannot join us live. But thanks for being with us today. And today we'll wrap things up from the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples on the theme and subject of temptation and deliverance. Pastor Shabelli's joined us in the studio, so he'll bring today's devotional message. And following his message, we'll open the phone lines and invite you to join us live on the air with your comments, your questions, testimonies, counseling needs. And if you have, well, prayer requests, what a great time to share them as we continue to develop this theme together with our listening audience right here on the Grace Hour broadcast live. You can join us when the phone lines are open. You can dial one of these numbers and participate in the broadcast. Share your thoughts with us at 800-338-7060. Friends, that is a toll-free number in all of North America. And you can join us live in the broadcast. Just dial that number. And the local number is 410-483-3700. And as you join us live here in the broadcast, well, we get to hear what your thoughts are on this all-important theme and subject of prayer. And, of course, there are many needs in our world today that need to be covered by our prayers. And I'm sure many needs in your personal life as well. And we would like to have you join us. And maybe you could have the body of Christ pray for whatever those critical needs are in your life today. Again, those phone lines will be open following today's devotional message. I want to welcome everyone that is listening live at gracehour.org. And YouTube Live, Facebook Live as well. And, of course, we're now broadcasting on our different platforms. Our podcast can be heard on the following platforms: Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher, and even more. And, again, if you cannot listen to us live, just archive today's broadcast, and you can listen to it at your convenience. We're just grateful for technology and how it makes it possible for believers around the globe to join us live. And again, if you can't, listen to the broadcast when you have the opportunity. Again, as I mentioned, Pastor Shabelli's in the studio, and he'll bring today's Grace Hour message.
Better than being out of the studio in the rain. Well, huh?
Yeah, you don't want to be outside today.
Not today, unless you have no choice.
That's right.
Okay, Matthew chapter 6. I'm thinking about that 13th verse. I was looking at it today, and these two words struck me: lead and deliver. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Now, temptation can be a test, a trial, or an initiation from the enemy. It can be any of those things. And he tells us that he wants to lead us and then deliver us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So the Holy Spirit, and we are led by, number one, the Holy Spirit, number two, the Word of God. I love that. And then we are delivered by grace. I want us to think about this application today. We are led by the Spirit, and the Spirit will always lead us according to the Word. And we are delivered by the grace of God, the nature and character of God. So he wants to not only lead us, but deliver us. He doesn't want to deliver us, but he wants to lead us. He wants to lead us and deliver us. This is the prayer that Jesus taught them that was important as far as their instruction from Jesus Christ to his disciples, to the apostles. Lead us and deliver us. Lead us and deliver us. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." 119, 105. So God wants to lead us according to the word. Many people talk about getting they're getting led by God, or they're led by God. But then when they tell you or I they are being led by God, but it's contrary to the scriptures, we realize they're not being led by God, but by their old sin nature, by sin, by something demonic, by something worldly. Lead us will always be according to God's word. He leads us. He leads us. If they say they're being led by the Spirit, it has to be according to the word of God. It can't be, I'm led by the Spirit to divorce my wife. I'm led by the Spirit to drink alcohol. I'm led by the Spirit to live an alternative lifestyle. I'm led by the Spirit to dislike a person. I'm led by the Spirit to not pray. I'm led by the Spirit to not evangelize. That's impossible. That's an impossibility. Okay? I mean, there can be sovereign cases where God would say, you have a program to evangelize today, but I want you to pray instead. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I do not have any desire to even be fellowshipping with these truths. I'm not led. So if we are led by the Spirit, it's always according to the Word of God. Because the Spirit, 2 Peter 1:19 through 21, wrote the Word of God and interprets the Word of God. So if we are led by the Spirit, we absolutely must be led by the Word. The Spirit and the Word. Jesus even mentioned in John 4:20 through 24, they who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. So even worship is according to God's word and God's spirit. We could find ourselves in a lot of trouble if we say we're being led by the Spirit and we're doing something contrary to the word. That means we're living in some form of subjectivity. It can be, by the way, religious subjectivity. Well, what does that mean, religious subjectivity? Well, people can use the Bible and interpret it incorrectly, and then through their own subjective desires and purposes, they can say yes, and it's really not God at all. It's really not God at all. They can say, I'm led by the Spirit, not to go to church. But the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I met somebody recently who said, well, I don't go to church because I don't believe it's really important, nor is it really seen in the Bible that you have to go to church. And I said to the person, well, of course you do not have to be in church. You don't have to go to church to get saved. You are saved by the grace of God, Ephesians 2:5-8, by the Holy Spirit, John 3:3-7. Right? And by the word of God, 1 Peter 1:21-23. But for you to grow as a believer, it's very important that you are in church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25. I really believe that the sin that he talks about in 26 is falling away from fellowship, having no regard for fellowship. So if I say I'm led by the Spirit, it cannot be contrary to the Bible. The Spirit's not going to lead you to drink alcohol. That's absolutely absurd, ridiculous, subjective, and satanic. All in one. All in one. The Spirit's not going to lead you to smoke marijuana. That's subjective, satanic, and you've been seduced by something other than the Spirit of God, but by the 1 Timothy 4:1, doctrines of devils, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If I say I'm led by the Spirit and it's contrary to the Word, it's nothing but a lie and it's not the truth. It's because I am fellowshipping in my mind with things that pertain to what I desire in my own life rather than what the Bible says. Being Spirit-led is being led by the Word. You can even see the results of being Spirit-led and Word-led in Ephesians 5:18 and on, the results of the Spirit's filling. And then in Colossians 3:16, the results of the filling of the Word with wisdom. They connect very well. So we cannot walk around and say that we are led by the Spirit when it's contrary to the Word. Now, why is it important that I am studying my Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15, and learning, 2 Timothy 3:14, and hearing, preaching, and teaching, 2 Timothy 4:1 through 5, because the Holy Spirit in Revelation 2 and 3 is in the seven assemblies, the seven churches. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To the church, get that. What does the Spirit say to the church? And that means a born-again church that has a foundation biblically based on the Word of God. So I'm listening, and am I hearing what I call the Holy Spirit if it's contrary to the Bible, contrary to truth? And we see many evidences of that everywhere. In many movements, in many so-called emphases in Christianity, they talk about the Spirit of God a lot. I heard a man once say, too much of the Spirit, you blow up. An over emphasis on the Word, you dry up. But with the Spirit and the Word, you grow up. The Spirit and the Word, you grow up. So the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So he's saying to them that we should pray, lead us not into temptation. Would the Spirit or the Word lead you into temptation? Absolutely not. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So how do I get out of evil? We have an evil world. Very simple to see that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, they walked according to the course of this world. Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. The evil world that Jesus speaks about in John chapter 17. So it's an evil world that's out there. I have an old sin nature, even as a born-again believer. Okay, we have a sin nature that's evil, and we have an evil devil and demons. So there's evil not just within us, but around us everywhere. Okay, how am I to be delivered from evil? Well, it's really simple. I become a receiver of God's word. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to deliver your soul, James 1, 19 through 21. I become a receiver of grace. Grace, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. I become a receiver of grace, and then I become a receiver of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So a receiver of the word, a receiver of grace, and a receiver of the Spirit will guarantee deliverance from evil. Will guarantee deliverance from evil. I need a large dose every day, and Christians need a large dose every day, and churches need to pour out and give a large dose of God's word, God's grace, and God's Spirit. So, Father, we thank you today. We pray that you would bless our time today, Lord Jesus. It might be raining outside, but God himself is raining on the inside. So we thank you. Bless our time on the air in Jesus' name. And everybody said, there's only three of us. Amen.
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 Did you say amen, Cody? I hope so. Okay, amen.
All two of us said amen. Three of us, pardon me. Well, Lord, well, friends, you're listening to the Grace Hour live on this Friday morning. And with just getting things started with those devotional thoughts from Pastor Schiavelli, we will now open the phone lines. That's like opening the door and inviting all of our guests to come into the home. And, of course, you're welcome to come into our studio and listen to the broadcast live. But this way we are able to open the phone lines and give you a chance to join us and participate in the broadcast. Mm-hmm. Fill up those lines. Here are the numbers, toll free, in all of North America, Canada, at the United States. That number is 800-338-7060. And the local number, 410-483-3700. Join us live with your comments, questions, your testimonies, counseling needs, and how about this, your prayer requests. Those mm-hmm. are all welcome live right here on the Grace Hour.
This is, I think, an important truth that we get delivered. Every one of us needs to be delivered on a daily basis. And it happens through the Word, God's grace, and the Spirit. That's why Paul said in Acts 20, 32, his last words to the Ephesian elders, I commend you to God and to the Word of his grace, because it will build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are set apart. And it's very important because the devil hates the Word. He hates grace. James 4, 6 through 8, hates the Word, Matthew 4. And definitely hates the Spirit, okay? That's why demon spirits oppose the person of the Holy Spirit. So he is absolutely opposed to the Word, grace and the Spirit, because he knows if a church or a believer can really allow these three things to permeate their soul, that they will be absolutely delivered. I don't care what is the problem. And you can't tell me there's something that God can't deliver you from. I don't believe that. That's not scriptural. And really, to understand, because I think a lot of times, Pastor Love, some people just don't understand evil. They really don't. They think it's, well, that's just something that's going on, you know, or whatever. No, it's evil. It's evil. And it is diametrically opposed to the nature of God, opposed to God's word, opposed to God's grace, and opposed to God's Spirit. And that's what evil is. That's what evil is, poneros evil, and it's infectious. It doesn't just sit around being satisfied with where it's at. It is aggressive, and it's growing, and it's on the move. Not that we fear it at all, because we are receivers of the word, grace, and the Spirit, but we must recognize that it does exist. Sometimes we don't see it behind. Some of these things that are going on in our country and in countries around the world are absolutely evil, and sometimes people and legislatures and different people that are in high places and officials, they try to deal with it with all kinds of natural ways, and it never works. It never works. It cannot work. I mean, people, they do their best at times, and I'm not saying there aren't Christians involved in these programs, but helping people to get delivered from narcotics. They use all kinds of human reason methods, but never, ever trust that God could do it. And we've seen God do that in many of the lives of people in church.
Amen. Yeah, he still delivers. He delivered us from sin and delivered us from judgment, and now has the power. It's interesting because when you think of the work of the cross, people so often do focus on that aspect of the cross, which was the penalty of sin, paid for, paid in full. It is finished. That's what Christ declared. But so many Christians that have been delivered from the penalty of sin still live under the power of sin. It still controls them. So that deliverance at the cross, which paid the penalty, wants to deliver them from the power of sin as well.
And actually, the cross would speak about God's word, God's grace, and God's Spirit. I mean, it's the finished work. Jesus finished the work. And the word himself and the one who was the God of all grace on the cross, led by the Holy Spirit, there's where the deliverance is. But people have so many ideas and so many methods of how to get delivered from something. And it can be something very large, and it could be something very small. Could be something large, but it's evil can come in these little minute things that nobody would even imagine, that it could be the beginning of something horrific in the person's life, but it can be something very small. Give no place to the devil. How do you do that? My word has no place in you. I let the word have a place in me in John 8:31-36, and that gives no place for the devil. And so the devil trying to attack. And by the way, he doesn't have to so much worry about or attack unbelievers. He already owns them. They're in his kingdom. So what is his major objective? The church and Christians. The church and Christians. Not that we're to fear it, because greater is he that's in you and me than he that's in the world. But we must recognize the methods and how the evil tries to even penetrate the church. How you can see things happening in churches that have nothing to do with God's word, God's grace, or God's Spirit. Maybe churches that have multiplicity of leaders and no pastor, okay? Maybe people that have churches where all kinds of things go on in the church as far as external displays of emotions and outward things and outward observances, but no truth, no inward truth. And it's evil. It might even look good. By the way, evil knows how to put on a good face. It does. It does, really. You think about all the good things the world does. Well, is that good from God? No. It's good from man. The source is man, and it's actually another form of evil.
Yeah. And we know and recall Pastor Stephen's teaching about the difference between personal sin and evil. There is a world of difference between the two.
Yes.
I mean, personal sin is what everyone experiences, even believers. They have personal sin in their lives, and when they have it, simply confess it, and they are cleansed by the blood of Jesus upon confession. Whereas evil, as you said, that gets a foothold in a person's soul. And maybe I could illustrate it this way. You know, you have personal sin. You might fail in your life in some fashion, in some way. Evil, you take that to the other side. It may be maligning other people, sowing discord among the brethren, doing everything that a person can do to disrupt the unity of the spirit that God has created, that's evil. You know, that's something, and Pastor Stephen used to say that Jesus, he didn't die for
evil. He didn't die for evil, right.
He died for our personal sins.
Look at Judas and Peter, okay? Oh, it's not down.
There you go.
Look at Judas and Peter.
Yeah.
I mean, Judas was evil.
That's right.
He got hung on a tree. Peter was a sinner, and he looked to a tree and found Christ, you know, on a cross.
Wow.
You know? I mean, Judas was evil.
That's right.
He's against the kingdom of God.
Sure.
Peter failed, you know.
That's right.
And Satan did sift him and tempt him, yes. But you know what? He rebounded, came back, because Judas was absolutely evil. He was evil from the get-go. You know, and so there's quite a difference you can see. And by the way, a very simple illustration of that truth that Pastor Steve has talked about is sin falls short of God's glory. Evil attacks God's glory. That, and if you don't get that, you can find yourself in big trouble because you'll think it's just sin when it's something more than sin.
Wow.
So we have somebody on the line.
We do. And I just wanted, before we take her call, someone might ask the question, do you and Pastor Schiavelli enjoy your conversation with each other? Absolutely. We love to continue the discussion. But what we love even more is when you join us.
Yes.
Which is why we encourage you to fill up those lines. We want to hear from you today. We've talked about this theme of prayer all week long. And now we want to open it up and have you, our listeners, fill up those lines and join us in our conversation and participate and make a contribution to the conversation. You might think, I don't think I have anything that could contribute. Yes, you do. Your portion is essential to the body of Christ. We need to hear from you. So 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number in all of North America. And the local number here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Suzette, thank you for joining us first today, and welcome to the Grace Hour.
Amen. Thank you. I just wanted to ask, you know, Pastor Schiavelli, you were talking about the three different things that are part of our deliverance from evil, one being the Word, and I'm sorry, I don't recall the second one.
Grace.
Grace. Hallelujah. And then the third one, you were talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please talk a little bit more about that? And if the bells and whistles go off, I'll have to hang up, but please.
The ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God himself. And so as the person of God himself living in us, we have great access continually on a daily basis to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that ministry is there to show us, reveal to us what is evil versus what is truth. And then to help us to not give in at all in any way to the temptations that arise from the evil from the old sin nature, the evil from the world, or the evil from the devil, the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus spent a lot of emphasis in John 14, 15, and 16 about when he has come, what will take place. You know, he will bring deliverance. The Holy Spirit is, he's so key in the church age today, from Acts chapter 2 and onward. And so the Holy Spirit's ministry definitely is connected much more than a connection like we talk about as I'm connected to this person, but the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the grace of God are one. And so the Holy Spirit using the Word and having the Spirit of grace, Hebrews chapter 10, is able to go against the enemy. When I try to go against the enemy in my own ability through maybe the good side of the old sin nature, human good, I will find I will be defeated. I'll tell you what happened one time, Pastor Love. This can sound strange to those who are listening. Mm-hmm. I remember preaching in Africa one time, and literally a woman came towards me, and she was not on the ground. She was in the air. Mm-hmm. It was a witch, okay? Mm-hmm. And I got a little bit frightened when I saw it because I was preaching. There was hundreds of people there. And I didn't really know what to do when I first saw what was taking place, but then God said to me, I just sensed, he didn't say it to me where I heard his audible voice, but I started quoting Bible verses, especially from Matthew chapter 4, okay? Matthew chapter 4, man does not live by bread alone. And the verses dropped the person from the air and they ran away.
Yes.
And that's called the deliverance by God's word, God's spirit, and God's grace. Because believe me, it had to be grace because it couldn't be me.
Yeah.
And it had to be the word, and it had not human reason. It had to be the Holy Spirit, not just something else. So absolute deliverance. And I think when people face evil, and by the way, let me say this, an outward manifestation of evil is not as tricky as the subtlety of the devil in the system of the world. You can see that, you know, you look at something, you know that's the devil, okay? It's witchcraft, it's right in front of you, you can see it. And we know a lot of things that we hear and are engaged with, we know it's evil. But it can be these little things, these little things that come in that really just trip up a believer, you know? Oh, you don't need to go to church, you can watch it on the air. Oh, you don't need to, you know, you don't need to do this, you don't need to pray, you know, God knows the needs, he'll take care of it. Little, can be little things. You don't need to tithe, they got a lot of money, you know, and whatnot. You know, it can be little things, and the little things are much more. They're deceptive, and they can come in, and they can destroy a person's walk with God. I'm not saying that the big things can't. They can too. But I'm saying it's very evident that that's evil. It's evident that drugs are evil to most people, I think. There's an evidence, you know, that this is wicked and this is evil. That homosexuality, that living in a relationship outside of marriage, that this is evil. You know, that child pornography is evil. Okay, we can say, of course. But what about something very small, like denting somebody's car in a parking lot, never going to tell them. You know? No, that, I'm not saying that could be a mistake, but you know it, and you know whose car it is you hit, and you don't want to do anything about it. It could be something very small, you know, or lying on your tax forms. Something that could be big, too.
No, the Lord, you know, through the Holy Spirit, you know, he's personal. He's so personal. He'll lead us personally, you know, and he'll be the one that will convict us of those things that we won't be able to get away with it, you know, in our conscience, you know, from the Holy Spirit, you know, but for so long unless we just kind of harden our hearts and cast it down and yada, yada. Yeah, but like just like the little foxes, like you're saying, it's a little
vines.
Things that come in.
I mean, just not loving somebody unconditionally. That can make room for the enemy. You know, it can be, it's not just, by the way, sin is not just what you do. It can be what you don't do. It can be what, it can be not just what you commit, but what you omit. It can be both of those, you know. And so the enemy is looking to find a foothold somewhere. And you can see over the course of years how that has happened. Somewhere decades ago, the enemy tried to convince people that abortion was okay. No, it wasn't. It's evil. Okay? Yeah. Or some, you know, it's like, it can start very small as a little fox. Mm-hmm. Don't despise a day of small things. It can start very small, very little, and it's evil, and it's going to grow. Poneros evil has to grow. That's the nature of it.
Yeah, and that's why we keep short accounts, like Pastor would tell us.
Yeah.
Keep short accounts, you know.
That's
Lord,
it.
Holy Spirit,
yes.
Search my heart. You know, search me, O Lord, and confess it. You know, it
that's
could
right.
be something that we may recognize easily. It's like, oh, like you said, maybe it is omission or commission, and we confess it. You know, Lord, that was a mental attitude sin.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I was thinking wrong or thinking evil. You know,
well,
Lord,
like snow,
I confess it.
Yeah, like snow or rain could start as a couple of little drops or snowflakes, but it could become a monstrous storm. You know, I mean, it really can. And so evil can start as a raindrop or a snowflake. I hate to use that as examples because we love snowflakes and all that, but it can start very small. A little leaven does what? Leavens the whole lump. Just a little in. That's what I love about. Here's an example of that. In Acts chapter 16, a woman says, she makes a statement that sounds okay. These are the sons of the Most High God. They show unto you the way of salvation. Paul says, come out of her. It's a demon.
Yeah.
Okay? They don't show you the way of salvation. They have the message of salvation, and salvation is in them, you know? These are the sons of the Most High God. It almost sounds like Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High. And see, he recognized that it was evil. He recognized it.
Wow.
And you can see it in Acts 13, the evil that was taking place there. You can see it in Acts 19 also, you know, in Ephesus. Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you, you know? So starting small, this is what gets people. They don't see it.
Amen.
They don't have precision in the word, in the spirit, and through grace. No precision, and before you know it, they are up a road. They can't figure out how they even got there.
Amen. Wow. Well, thank you very much, Pastor. God bless y'all.
Thank you, Suzette. Great to hear from you. Those phone lines are open, friends. You can join us. It's quite simple. It's just like Suzette just did. Picked up that phone, gave us a call.
Pick it up.
It's 800-338-7060. That is toll free. So if you are anywhere in the continental United States, like Sacramento, California, or, you know, San Francisco, or perhaps in the Midwest, maybe Kansas City, how about Chicago, Illinois? How about Miami, Florida? Any of these. But how about Las Vegas, Nevada?
Las Vegas, Nevada.
We'd love to hear from
How about
any
India?
Of you.
Oh, it's too late for India.
Maybe not.
Pastor Shadlock could call us if he's listening.
Sure.
You never know. He's in India.
And they can listen to the Grace Hour live, even in India. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. I want to see those phone lines filled up today. This is such a great theme. And I love Suzette's question, you know, the Holy Spirit's ministry. Why is it so crucial? Clearly, it's the most indispensable feature of what it is for believers to live in this church age. You cannot even think about living a Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit.
You can't.
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
And you know what happens, Pastor Shibeli, is so many people, they get saved, and the Holy Spirit comes into their lives, and he comes in and he's sealed the believer until the day of redemption. But then they start to live their lives without depending upon the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then they end up battling the desires of the flesh. They end up battling the things of the world. They end up battling the devil. But here's the point. God says if you allow yourself to be controlled by the Spirit, you can't fulfill the lusts of your flesh.
Right.
Galatians 5:16. I mean, rather than saying, I got to stop fulfilling the lusts of my flesh, no, you got to start being filled with the Spirit.
God,
when you're controlled by the Spirit, that takes care of the lusts of the flesh.
You don't have to fight the flesh.
Exactly.
The battle is the Lord's, right?
Yeah.
You know, you fighting Goliath? Just throw a stone.
There you go.
The stone, Jesus is the stone, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, you know? And that's all. But yeah, that can be sin. How about fighting the enemy in your own ability? That's also adding sin to sin because you're trusting in yourself for victory rather than trusting in God. And that's interesting. Like somebody's going to defeat a drug addiction or alcohol addiction or pornography addiction through self. It doesn't happen. And even if it happened, even if the devil was so good as to deceive you, right? So good as to deceive you into thinking that it's happening. By the way, the same person, the same evil that can put demons on you can back them off, too, to make you think you've been delivered when you haven't. Mm. We have a call.
Yes, we do. And it's one of those
Pastor
cities that
Perkins.
We just mentioned from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Don't let me catch you in a casino.
Pastor John, welcome.
I'll be sending somebody out there.
Pastor Perkins, are you there? Pastor Perkins.
We thought he was there.
We're waiting to speak with you. It tells us on the screen that you're joining us.
I don't know what happened. Maybe he put the phone down.
You have us on mute? Don't mute us.
Don't mute us.
Talk with us. Hopefully we'll get through to him in just a moment. We don't know if they're having some technical difficulties on his end or our end. We hope to remedy those and have him join us live from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Marion.
Pastor Perkins, are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
Uh-huh. What happened?
Thank you.
You tried to disappear from us?
No, I haven't disappeared.
You've been waiting, right?
Here.
So it was on our end. We apologize.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We don't want to blame anybody.
Let's not blame anybody. Let's just get right to the call.
That's why I'm calling. I haven't called for a while.
Oh, good to hear from you. What's happening?
Well, just thinking about what you just said about the what was it, the lady walking around chasing Paul around and Silas and, you know, saying these are the, you know, these guys are men of God. They'll show you the way. And what was it that you said, Pastor Cervelli? It was
well, they don't just show you the way of salvation. They have salvation living in them. Okay? So it's more than just they'll show you the way as if it's some kind of method, you know, to get there. But Paul recognized right away it was demonic. These are the sons of the Most High God. Right away, that term there, okay? And yes, they are sons of God, but the Most High God, that was used by the devil in Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High. And so he recognized that this was a spirit of divination. Actually, it's called in the Greek language a python spirit, which means like a ventriloquist that can throw its voice. And somehow that's what took place. And so he said, come out of her. Because he recognized it was not from God. It could have sounded okay. Just like some people sound okay about what they're saying. And then you find out that they believe that they can lose the Holy Spirit. Or they believe unless you have a certain gift, you're not spirit-filled or born again. It sounds good. It can even use the Bible. By the way, didn't the devil use the Bible? Yes, he did.
Absolutely.
He did. Yeah. He did, you know?
Yeah, I was just thinking, too, like it says that the people knew God's acts, but Moses knew, like, God's heart or something like that.
Yes.
I thought that was really good. I know it's on my end. I should have been calling you guys, but you've been gone away for Africa.
Hey, wait a minute. Pastor Love's here. Other people are here. Don't use me as your excuse.
Hey, don't be a respecter of persons.
That's
Pastor
right.
Perkins.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I repent on Grace Hour.
Wow. No, we love you, and we know that you are listening, and we know that you're right in the work of God.
Yeah, Pastor Perkins, while we have you, tell us, and for the folks that are listening, what is your vision for Las Vegas, Nevada?
Well, we actually we've had an influx of new believers and so we're growing maybe 30, 40 people now.
Wow.
So that's good for us. And we have like a fellowship night where we have a gathering and it's going to be fun. We're doing outreach. Rick, who's listening he's listening to me. He's been really an instigator. He's just very, very talented, and very gifted. And he's been instrumental. We have, now outreaches during the week, several actually. And, our church is growing. We've new people to hear the grace and the finished work. And, I'm just happy. I'm so happy. We got some momentum going, and we're reaching out and sharing and preaching, and so it's a lot of fun right now. We have a team. We have some new worship people in our church, gifted musicians, and we have James DeDetis and his family coming not this weekend, but the week following.
Wow!
So that will be. That will be a major blessing. And also we're working, with another church also possibly in the future, with outreach and that kind of thing. There's like 11 group homes where drug addicts and alcoholics and can go there. And we're working with them also. And, just a lot going on. I tell you, I've been real busy actually. So that's my excuse for not calling.
And what's your excuse for not inviting us?
Well,
I'm joking.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to have you out here again. Both of you. How's that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Maybe we can organize something. We've already got our tickets for convention. So
great. We'll talk at convention and find the time in September or something.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. We're just blessed by association, and we've had a few spiritual battles going on. A few flames from the enemy. That he doesn't like.
Of course.
What'd you expect?
I know, right? It's part of it, right? So I just remember, like, all the training we have, you know, about sowing discord among the brethren, you know, loving each other, the royal law of love. Pastor Stevens, just, you know, all the battles he went through are really helpful, actually, you know, to think about that and to think about it. So it's warfare, you know?
And no doubt.
The enemy doesn't like it when you're growing and you're, you know, you're going forward in the plan. So I don't want to take all of your time, but
we have other callers waiting, but I love the vision that you outlined for us. I love to hear, and I'm sure our listeners do too, the fact that your ministry is growing and let's do that. Let's get together and let's plot and plan for both of us to get out there and to join
plot
you at some point before this year ends.
Plot and plan before the year ends. Plot and plan. Come on now.
We love you, Pastor. Thanks so much for the call.
All right. Love you, too.
Bye.
See ya.
God bless. Let's go from Las Vegas. Let's go up to Buffalo, New York.
Ed
is joining us.
Buffalo.
The great city of Buffalo,
New
York.
Any snow there?
Maybe.
No. Ever since Josh Allen came to play for the Buffalo Bills, there's no more snow. He's that good.
Wow. That's great.
I can't believe it. It's like a miracle. I think he's like Moses, only with a football in his hand. It's weird, you know. But that goes out to all my dear, close New England fans. You know, I had wink on that one.
Yeah, it's your turn.
You guys, if I could hug both of you guys and lift you up off the ground, I would do it right now if I could do it. I probably could. Pastor Steve and Pastor Love, I want to just thank you guys for just this program this week. I think it's been like hallmark portions on Grace Hour. I've been listening closely. Like, you know, this is better. I got the popcorn out watching this. Now, here's the thing. I want to make a comment. I want to listen to Pastor Steve and you guys, you know, share on this. You know, I think this thing about, like, delivering, you know, being delivered from evil, you know, and I remember, like, say, in 1990, I was with Pastor out in Tacoma, Washington, at a conference, and Pastor Wells, a bunch of guys were there with a cafeteria, broke a guitar string. Pastor Wells says, well, you know, the devil, and I leaned over. As soon as he said the devil, when I broke a guitar string, I sang a tribute song, you know, that's my pastor. It's a tribute song for Dr. Stevens. I wrote, I sang it from time to time. But I leaned over, I whispered in Pastor's ear, I said, the wicked one touches us not. And here's what I meant. I didn't mean it like, you know, to like, you know, attack that quick statement about the devil. But, you know, it always parallels kind of like, you know, like, all right, let's go to another angle on this thing. You know, here comes Jesus into a town where people are weeping and sobbing, and Lazarus is dead, really dead. He waited two extra days, you know, really dead. You know, so, you know, interpretively, at times, people will, even saints, you know, will say, oh, the devil, or evil, or, you know, this could have been avoided. When really, Jesus is really kind of doing his godly thing, you know, like waiting till he's really dead type of thing. Then all of a sudden, this phenomenal moment takes place, and they see, obviously, you know, do them up. They see the power and the nature of God revealed to them. And so prayer, it's kind of funny, but prayer at times, sometimes it kind of happens quickly. You know, someone's healed, financial breakthrough, you know, a spiritual battle breakthrough in someone's life. Other times, you know, God, his timing is really his timing. And you can cry out and say, oh, that's a devil. This is evil. This is, you know. And you hear that on TV, and you know, I don't watch TV. I watch these shows. I don't watch regular TV, just sports, Josh Allen, you know. But I do ponder that thought as in explaining, like, interpretively, you know, why is it that people so quickly, even theological people, they talk in terms of, like, kingdom warfare, the second things don't go their way, but really, God's got us in a be still and wait, you know, Isaiah 40:31, you know, Psalm 46:10, you know, on and on and on, about waiting, you know, on God. So that's a question in the form of a comment.
Yeah.
And then, you know, tell Pastor Perkins out in Vegas, tell him, hey, Master Steve wasn't there, but we were just waiting. just like they were for Jesus.
All right. Well, no, I'm having fun, in a funny way.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, you make a good point, and the question is, why do we so often attribute things that may be happening to the devil? But it's important to point out in 1 John 5:18, when it does say, those that are born of God, God keeps them, and the wicked one does not touch him. The word there is, he doesn't attach himself to us. Mm-hmm. He cannot control us. We know, certainly, as a believer, he cannot possess us. Can he oppress us? Does God give him permission to come at us, to trouble us, to keep us from really understanding who Christ is, walking by faith, living in fellowship with God? Yes. Behind that, we have Jesus interceding for us, praying for us, mm-hmm. as was the case with Peter when Jesus told him that Satan had desired to sift him like wheat, but he was being prayed for by Jesus. So, again, I think sometimes we maybe all too often, you can go back to the television show, the comedian Flip Wilson, who coined that phrase, "The devil made me do it." but, sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's just the old sin nature. The lust of our flesh, the pride of life. Yeah. We don't want to get in the habit of attributing everything to spiritual forces or darkness.
What happens when he's chained for 1,000 years? Will there be sin? Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Old sin nature.
That's right.
Okay, so there's the old sin nature and the world. Now, we know that Satan is the god of this world. So, there's two aspects feeding into the world. Number one, the devil and demons. Number two, the old sin nature. Feeds this system called the world.
That's right.
And that's really where it's at. So, and people can get very occupied with either one thing or the other. Some people, they're always so occupied with the old sin nature, they don't even think about there being a devil or demons.
Yeah.
Then there's other people that are occupied with the devil and demons and forget that there's an old sin nature, But there's no balance in that
that's
at all.
Those two extremes.
Two extremes that really...
Yeah, that's where I don't know, maybe it's just because you're around long enough, you kind of see the response. Sometimes it's not as fast as, I'm like, this is not a fast food restaurant. I know Italian food is good, but if it's cooked like over a course of a day, it's really good.
Yeah. So I think the thing that we remember, Ed, is that if the guitar string breaks, just play with the five other ones you have.
Right. Pastor loved that song. He would be grinning like from ear to ear when we sing. It's a good tribute. Sometime I'll play it, joke around. It's really good. Fun song I wrote years ago. Of course, I'm calling in. I'm using up all my coins for my calls this week because I love the theme. I think it's fantastic. I really do. And praying, and I'll be back down shortly. My mom is, at the final stages. I talked yesterday, but just thank you so much. And definitely... praying and believing and, steadfast. And
just, keep it up.
Very thankful, Pastor Love, for you guys.
Hey, God bless you, Ed. We have another caller to take, but we appreciate hearing from you.
Yeah, okay. All right, sir.
God bless. 800-338-7060. Still have time to take your call. Let's go to Rainey next, joining us live in the Grace Hour. Rainey, welcome.
Rainey or it's Rainey?
Both. Both.
Actually, not where I am.
That's what we thought.
What?
Yeah, I'm in Connecticut again, Pastor Cibelli. I'm calling again for prayer. My blood pressure is extremely high, and I have a phone call into my doctor. I've not heard back from him. So, I'm very concerned. My wife is very concerned, and would like prayer.
All right.
Yes, Father, we thank you. We do pray, God, that you would bring this blood pressure down and do it quickly, not a long time. Do it quickly. And God, and then you can also show him areas where he can make adjustments by grace to keep that blood pressure in a very safe place. So cover him and touch him. We thank you for your blood, which is so powerful. And it covers us and that the miracle of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So heal him. We thank you for his life, and just cover him. Give him a great peace that passes understanding in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. Remember, Jesus, his blood doesn't have pressure. It's got power.
Ooh.
Amen.
And it can heal and deliver.
Yeah, all right.
Amen.
Thanks for the call, sir.
Thanks. We got
Thank you.
We got class tonight. You're welcome to come to Bible college class tonight.
What class are you teaching tonight?
1 Thessalonians, the whole book. We'll go through it tonight. We'll be speaking a lot about God's love and faith, which is evident there. So many kind words and a ministry that Paul had with affection to these Thessalonians, who he had to be away from after only 3 weeks of preaching. You know, and it's a great, great book, and we'll have a great time with it on holiness, a lot about the end times. We're going to talk about the seven signs of the end times tonight, too.
You're going to talk about the rapture?
Yeah, a little bit about the rapture.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
About the rapture and the second coming of Christ, but the signs of the times, seven signs of the times, and then, just like I said, love, faith, holiness, and being an example. There's a lot of verses in 1 Thessalonians that talks about them being a pattern and example to others. You know what manner of men we were, you know. So that'll be tonight from 6 to 8.
Everybody's welcome.
Everybody.
Free class. Come on out and hear Pastor Schiavelli teach on 1 Thessalonians tonight. You know, that portion in 1 Thessalonians that Paul addressed the subject of the rapture in the fourth chapter.
Mm-hmm.
We hear a lot about the pastor to the presidents, Dr. Billy Graham, and he ministered to several several presidents during the course of his, you know, great preaching ministry throughout the many, many years. But one president in particular, John F. Kennedy, was fascinated
really
by that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and on a couple of different occasions asked Dr. Billy Graham to explain what the rapture was all about. Isn't that something?
Yeah, John Kennedy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's encouraging.
Maybe it is encouraging.
He had opportunities to think with God.
It was said that he was fascinated by that passage, which is why he talked about it or wanted Dr. Graham to explain it to him. So, you know, who knows? You never know.
Never know.
A couple of minutes left in the broadcast, friends. About 8 minutes to be precise. Still time for you to join us. You can give us a call at 410-483-3700 locally. And if you're calling us outside of the Baltimore, Maryland area, you can dial the 800 number. Take your toll-free call at 800-338-7060.
And we have, do you have any youth events on Friday and Saturday?
Yes, Saturday night we have a youth study right here on our property at 7:30 p.m. And then the following weekend, a week from this weekend, the youth rally in the Pocono Mountains.
Wow.
Yeah.
Poconos.
Yeah, we
had any snow up there?
I hope not. I hope not, because we'll be sleeping in cabins, to the best of my understanding, which are not heated. So it's going to be a little bit cooler, a little bit more chilly up there, not as spring-like up there as it is here in the Baltimore area, but we anticipate in the middle of May we'll have some good weather, and it's going to be a great weekend. And if you're listening, you're a young person, and you haven't registered, go to our website, ggwo.org.
And register.
And register for the Spring Youth Rally in the Pocono Mountains. We'd love to have you come and be a part of that.
And we have outreach tomorrow, outreach meeting from like 9 to 12, or we go out on outreach, knocking on doors or just speaking to people. Then church Sunday morning.
That's right, Mother's Day.
Mother's Day! Whoa! 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And I'm going to talk about a mother's love on the 11 o'clock service.
Wonderful.
The love of a mother, yeah.
Praise God.
My mother loved me. Wow, that's why I'm alive. Yeah, I think that's one of the keys. God used her. So then we have 6:30 at night, too. We have three services on Sunday. So
right.
You're welcome to all of them or any of them.
Mother's Day is going to be a full
Mother's Day.
Where we get to honor our moms and remember how good God was to us to give us a mother. And, you know, in ministering throughout these years, Pastor Schiavelli, to the NBA athletes, I find and have found and discovered that a lot of these athletes, when you ask them about their faith and where they got it from and how it was developed, it was mom. It was a godly mother. And had the blessing and the privilege of meeting a lot of those godly mothers and had a chance to thank them and say, you know, you have no idea the impact that your son has made with his faith because you impacted his life with your faith.
Somebody said that to my mother once. And she had two sons, and one of them was a missionary to Africa, one to China. And the person said, "Oh, wow, you're a blessed woman, and you had a blessed womb." She goes, "Don't use that word. I don't like that word." She was really old-fashioned, you know? But she just looked at the person like with a look that could send you out of the room, you know?
Oh, boy.
I don't like that word.
Yeah. So, oh, that's funny. Yeah, somebody trying to put her on the same level as Mary, right?
Yeah. Well, not even if they were doing that, but just she didn't like the word, you know?
Yeah,
like, you know, don't use that word.
How about just thank you for raising such wonderful sons that have impacted two of the biggest continents on the planet.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she had a great impact on our lives. There's no doubt about that.
Moms do.
Saved us from so many things that could have been dealt with by somebody else in the family, like my father. You know, he did what? You know? And I remember one time, this is when I was 12 years old or 13 years old, the police came to the house and they arrested me in the kitchen. And I don't even know why they did it. They said I broke into some chainsaw store. And they were right. But, you know, and so they handcuffed me and she goes, get those handcuffs off my son. He didn't do it. They said, we saw him and we found them in the car that he was driving at 13 years old. She goes, somebody stole the car. It wasn't him. You know? Somebody stole my car and he would never do anything like that. So,
moms always want to believe the best.
Love covers a multitude of sins.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had this. A somewhat of a similar experience getting a knock on the door, and I was a young person before I knew Christ, and a policeman came to the front door and handed a summons to my father. And, you know, my dad didn't say he didn't do it. He looked at me and
said,
I'm sure he did it, and I'll deal with him. And I thought to myself, I might be better off going with the police.
Yeah. You know? Sometimes I think with some of our fathers, yes, you were.
I know.
We don't want. By the way, this show is not run by criminals.
No.
That was B.C.
Former criminals.
Yeah. Before Christ. By the way, Paul was a criminal and
that's
Jesus
right.
was crucified.
Moses
as
was a murderer.
Yeah.
Right?
David.
Yeah. They're all fugitives.
Come on.
We're in good company.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we've reached the end of yet another broadcast, friends, on this Friday morning. And we want to thank you so much for joining us, not only for today's broadcast, but throughout this week. And we hope that even though we've designated, our country has designated one day yesterday, National Day of Prayer, that you will continue to pray for our nation, for what's happening in our world today, for your family, friends, people in your sphere of influence, those that don't know Christ, continue to pray and to believe God for their eternal salvation. We do want to mention once again, Pastor Schiavelli referred to it moments ago, Sunday services at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., it's Mother's Day. You really want to honor your mom?
Bring her.
Come to church. Yeah, and bring her. If she's still with us, bring mom out. We'll honor her, and we'll honor all the mothers coming up on Mother's Day. And there'll be a message, of course, that will really bless your heart. 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m. Thanks for joining us this week. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back Monday, God willing, for our next live broadcast right here in the Grace Hour.